Today, let us do a deep dive into performance psychology. Dun, 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 dun. And it's such a widely used term, as though it's as easy as baking an instant cake. But it is really, I mean, if it were so simple, then we'd all be happy, smiling runners. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Hypno Running, the show where we do more than just talk about running. We help you find solutions to develop your full potential, making you a better, faster, and smarter runner. And here is your host, Heiko.
Yes, as the lady said, Heiko is my name. Welcome to the show. So what does sports psychology focus on? And the complex answer is identifying and applying psychological principles that facilitate peak sports performance, enhance physical ability, and achieve optimal human performance. Okay. You know me, as a regular listener. Oh, by the way, if you're a first-time listener, thank you very much for joining. Just stick around. The show is going to grow on you, but give it some time. It's the way I speak, I talk and act in real life. And of course, everything I'm talking about, it's all based on a couple of years of education, a couple of degrees, mostly over 35 years of actual run experience and the benefit of coaching people in various parts of the world. Right, here goes. Actually, what terms and names do is not so important. It's what they solve. So here are a few examples that I'd rather want to talk about rather than diving into sports psychology and making it sound much bigger than it is. Because at the end of the day, if you have pre-race anxieties, which cause you to get so nervous that you can't eat, you know, you have a very poor fueling habit during a run, you're never going to become a great endurance runner. You need to eat. So how do you handle that? Or if you have a lack of confidence and you start the races too slow and you don't have that correct pace, so later on it gets more difficult to make up that time even though you still have energy left. Or what happened to me last weekend, slowing down over the last final miles. Yes, there was a hometown marathon, believe it or not. And I nearly disintegrated on the last couple of miles. And it's just, you know, it's mental toughness was there. It got me to the end. But I wasn't yet fatigued. It was just something else. And it's something that happens in our brain. How do you overcome that? And of course, the most favorite one, how do you handle no motivation, which causes inconsistent training? So it's never really possible to get close to your potential. And this is, for me, I think the biggest reason why I started this podcast. Fourth season, by the way, no ads. The low motivation, which leads to runners not training accordingly. And it's such a pity. And these problems, they are common to runners at some point or another in their career, in their run career. And of course, it's to be expected because it comes with the game of running. And they are simple and effective tools that what you think on, what goes on in your brain. You know, their mindset skills would help you focus during a race. There's improved mindset building, helps build your confidence, your self-image, and which then reduces anxiety. There are ways to increase your motivation, whether the weather or the mood isn't there, as you like it. Improving your self-talk. I've had many podcasts already on that. But you know something? It's not the lack of tools or the lack of knowledge that keep us runners from progression. People, runners, you all know where to get what. You know, you Google it, or you know, years back you had an encyclopedia. Remember those? I wonder what those salesmen are doing today. And so it's not the lack of the tools. It's the lack of optimism. Hang on, I forgot to say, if you have a look at heikostribble.com, that's my website, heikostribl.com, you'll find, of course, various online courses or books pertaining to this topic. However, if you are expecting a 1,000-page deep psychological study that I doubt you will read, no. What I offer is a short, comprehensive guide to enable you to get accustomed and to actually get going using tools. So whether it's you want to have a 365-day run streak or whether you really want to go make that extra step, really want to progress as a runner, that's when you should go for one of those books. So if you don't enjoy the podcast up to now, don't get the book. It's for those that want to have solid research-based tools that are understandable and, more important, usable the next time you go out for a run. Okay, back to the point. I'm sure many of you would agree that the world and people and runners in general are becoming more and more negative. It's like a chronic negativity. It's not just a practical problem. It's not just a run problem. It's even a more spiritual problem, actually. And if just you think for a second, Do you see or do others see you as an optimist or as a pessimist? Just think quickly. You know, do you see a race and you go like, yeah, I'm going to sign up for that? Or do you reflect in a pessimistic way? I'm not judging them. You know, don't be like me. I used to sign up for races without even knowing. I just knew the distance. I didn't know the terrain. That's a silly thing to do. That's not the point. Just do you look at yourself and think, yeah, do I reflect positively or rather pessimistically? Is there optimism in my thought process? Because your thoughts have incredible power. You have great power over your own thoughts. Your life is moving in the direction of your most powerful thoughts. So it's not just some random effect. You can actually choose what you want to be thinking about. That your thoughts have incredible power. Let that think in. Your thoughts have incredible power. And you have incredible power over your thoughts. So your thoughts, your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. You're not a victim of what you're thinking. You can actually choose what you want to think about. So let me say that again. You can choose that, what you want to think about, because that determines how you live. So what you think about comes from what you devote your time to. And negativity doesn't just, ta-da, drum roll, appear all of a sudden. It's brewing inside of us. And it's, of course, it's a result what we spend our time on, who we hang around with. So what I want to do is, number one, I want to show you why negativity is not only hurting your running, your run progress, your run distances, your endurance training. It's also hurting your family, your relationship, your values, the direction of your life. It's much bigger than that. It's hurting your outlook on life. And the second thing is, I want to do is try to help you identify a specific area of negativity within your own mindset. So let's start at the beginning. Why is this negativity so harmful? Now, at its root, we need to understand that we all have a negativity bias, and we're biased toward that which is negative. And actually, neuroscience shows us that negative events imprint on our brain more quickly, and they stay longer than positive ones. Obviously, ever been in a car accident? Yeah, you're going to remember that for a long time. And ever had a DNF in like just before the finish line? Yep, you're going to be remembering that too a long time. You know, it seems to hit our brains and stick longer than positive ones. So, and this comes as well, underlying fact, what do you think spreads faster if you're active on social media, something positive or negative? And the answer is, of course, negative. The news story that gets more clicks is the negative one. So even if you mention to someone, yeah, I'm looking at marathons, perhaps Boston or something. Oh, Boston, that's where the bomb went off. Or sometimes you speak to someone and you say, hey, Mexico, it's a marathon I'd like to do. Oh, yeah, there were 11,000 cheaters. Or New York Marathon. I wouldn't mind doing your New York Marathon. Oh, poo, whistle, that's pretty expensive. So it's a way of looking at it. And for you, if you have a 10K or a half marathon where you want to have a personal best or a marathon and you're really nervous about it, and then you finish it, you did it, and people compliment you, great job, you know, and you know, five different people say it's amazing, you know, you really did it, you're so powerful. And one person makes a negative comment. At the end of the day, are you thinking about the five positive things, or are you thinking about that one person who can't even run? And, you know, and that's chronic negativity, and it sends us into this fight or flight. And what happens is when most of us, what you see online is negative, what you hear others say is negative, and most of what you say to yourself is negative, well, you're going to be focused on that, and you're going to be creating those negative neural pathways. Well, they're neural pathways. They're just filled with negativity. And I talked about this a lot. You know, when you think of a thought once, it's easier to think of that thought again. And when you focus on it and some more, and you find more people who are thinking the same line, next thing you're surrounded by criticism. And you're never, ever going to do New York because now you're fully convinced five people have said it's expensive. And Mexico, they're going to think I'm a cheater if I run Mexico. And Boston, well, you never know. There might be another loony out there who's might going to do something. And the next thing, negativity has become a habit. It's a default posture. It's going to be, this is going to be bad. It's going to get worse. All club runners are like this, and that race is not measured correctly. Just look on. You don't think I'm exaggerating? Have a look at some of these Facebook forums where runners ran a race, and apparently it's not measured correctly. Well, my Garmin said, or my watch measured this, and it's just getting worse, you know, or my speed is just deteriorating. I'm never going to get my personal best. I'm never going to be top of my age group, by the way. You should aim for that. The older you get, you should aim to be top five of your age group. You know why? In many races, there might only be 20 runners. And if you are in pretty good shape, you might even end up on the podium of your age group. That's something to go for. But others reflect that, well, I'm never going to have that marathon personal best. You know, it's always going to be where it is now. I'm stuck here. And very literally, the negativity becomes your default habit. So when you go and run a marathon, well, you're going to just aim for getting that time that you had last time, but never your best. So this also comes from, of course, other things which are not related to running, the news you consume, the show that you watch, the lyrics to the music that you play over and over again, the social media that you consume, or you feel left out, and you maybe reflect on anger or jealousy. And again, your thoughts have incredible power over the direction of where your running is going to take you to, where your life is going to take you to, and your actual performance as a runner, even if it's just a hobby, even if you're just a middle of the pack runner. You have incredibly power over where you want those thoughts to take you. So where are you most prone to negativity? Where are you most prone to identify it? What's your one big one? You need to find that one big negativity. Maybe it's that person in the club. Maybe it is just that forum you are on. If you can't define it, you can't defeat it. So what's holding you back? And there are actually four big categories where you need to look at. The one is called relational cynicism. And that's where you really can't trust people. But hey, we're runners. I think we do trust people. But if you don't have a good view of people, you know, that's something you really need to look at. Relational cynicism. The next one is the negative filtering. That's just where you're assuming the worst, finding the worst possible thing to point out. You know, it's overlooking what's good. Well, that marathon course has got a lot of hills. I mean, that's steep. You know, you're overlooking what it can bring you. Oh my gosh, you know, that's it. I'm way behind pace. This is going to be a DNF. And you thought that last five races already and you never had a DNF. And the other one is called where you have the absolute thinking, polarized thoughts. You know, if a marathon you trained for, you didn't succeed and it hurts, you know, all marathons are out of your league. You're right off the whole event, you know. And in my opinion, I see a lot more of this absolute polarized thinking. And the final one is, if you're a victim and you're blaming others for the lack of time, you're blaming others for the lack of effort that you can put in there. You know, you can play this game a long time. And the reason why you are where you are is because, well, your coach wasn't good. And actually, you know, he had other people on the team that he favored and he didn't give you the attention. And the whole world is stacked against you. Identify where you're at. Now, I want to ask you, if you're blindsided by negativity and perhaps now listening to this, you thought, hey, hang on, I might not be blindsided, but there might be some truth to it. What are you going to do about it? So let me ask you, when was the last time you ran somewhere new? When did you try some new training, something that is totally different from what you're doing now? When did you sign up for a run challenge? Have you learned a new strength training technique? You know, when you were in your teens, you were constantly trying new things. And then by the time you became an adult, you tried less and less. And our brains lay down this foundation and it's like concrete that's dry. So get that jackhammer, disrupt that concrete and let something new appear through the cracks. Because if you never stop learning and adapting, if you don't let your mental pathways harden, you're going to be more adaptable to new techniques, to new tests, to new challenges, new distances, new locations. Oh my goodness. Running is so exciting. Running is such a thrill if you have this mindset. So you need to diversify. Means a lot of things to runners. But the tension that lies between trying something new and risking it so that you can relate a little bit more to other ideas. And this starts with your self-awareness, understanding your own strengths and limitations, and creating a growth mindset for yourself in terms of your running. So, what are you going to do? Consistency, as always, is the key. Consistency to becoming an optimistic runner. You know, ideally, pick up a 10K run and... Yeah, which is a pretty good challenge. Then you start building up the long run distance, means about 75% of the distance of the 10K you're going to be running. And you're going to get that in once a week. and this will develop the muscular endurance to tolerate running that 10K at a higher pace, and it'll build the confidence. And then you don't worry about the speed. You just worry about that 75% every once a week. And speed work and other forms of interval training, they're gonna add a lot of intensity. So don't overdo it if you're a new runner. If you're an experienced runner, just find an aggressive plan right there. And what you want to do is you really want to focus on training hard on your speed work. Don't overdo it. And then let the rest of the results come with that 75 distance of that. And of course, you take your recovery seriously. You avoid injury. And this already, these four simple steps, by selecting a 10K, by being consistent, focusing on the long runs, having high intensity training, wow, taking rest seriously, already with that, eliminate everything else. This is something that you can do. Did you hear me speak about find a new club? Well, have a chat with your coach. No, be that runner who does not worry about things they can't control. The weather on race day, you know, it's nighttime now. What am I going to do? I'll come home from there. Or go running earlier. Take your headlamp. Go run where there's streetlights. Take charge of the things that you can control. Figure out that race, get familiar with the course, practice hydrating on the run, and build yourself up to become that optimistic runner. By the way, in the Bible, Paul said it best, you know, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. I really wish that for you, that you identify what is holding you back, what is creating that negativity. Change it. You are powerful. You are in charge of your thoughts. Become that optimistic runner. Hey, my name is Heiko. Thanks for joining us on today's show. God bless you. And remember, take it easy.